Bring your greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. When we think of a message for a Christmas message, and especially right on Christmas Day, and right after a Sunday school lesson that pretty well covers the subject, what do you preach? What should the message be? And so I struggled with this a bit in getting ready for this message. What I'd like to have us look at, I guess we looked at Luke. I'm going to read some of the Christmas story from the book of Matthew to begin with. And I'll tell you what my title is. The title of my message this morning is Christmas Extremes. So you can think about that as we read this. It's not going to be so much in the reading, but I would like to look just a little bit at some modern day thinking about Christmas and some of the things that, the question, how should we celebrate Christmas? What is a fitting way for we as God's people to celebrate Christmas? There are so many extremes, and we want to look at a few of those and get some lessons from what the Bible tells us. Okay, if you'll turn with me to Matthew, I'm going to read a little bit from starting at the 18th verse of chapter 1 and reading on into chapter 2. I guess the two verses that stuck out to me as I prepared this lesson and this message and as I thought of what to preach, the two verses that stuck out to me was verse 18, the very first phrase says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." And then if you go into chapter 2, and the very first phrase of that first verse is, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea." And so it clearly tells what this passage is about. It's about the birth of Jesus. And it's explaining some of the things that happened and some of the things that surround that event. So let's read from Matthew 1:18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, and saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written, thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And when And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod shall seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this part of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the account of the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world. And Father, we are grateful that you have left on record these things. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to receive lessons and apply the word of God to our hearts, and help us that we would just have a deep and abiding appreciation for all that you have done for us in the plan of salvation and through the Lord Jesus. Be with us throughout the remainder of this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many traditions. Traditions abound. And many of these traditions of Christmas are not even remotely related to the birth of Jesus. But they are the product of people's imaginations and different ideas. And some of them may have had a somewhat of a religious background, but have been abused and changed until they would not even be recognizable. Some of these traditions that we see in society today, not only in the United States, but I think throughout the world, there are traditions that are centered around this event. There's nativity scenes, which some of them, even live ones, you hear of how they get actual people and get them together, and actual animals, and they have live nativity scenes. And then, of course, there's a lot of statues, and there's a lot of little trinkets that you put on your dresser or on your table. There's gift giving. Perhaps this stems back to the giving of gifts that the wise men gave. There's gift getting, and this is a big one, a big tradition in our world today. Today, just this week, I got a newspaper from up where we used to live. I've gotten this ever since we lived here. It sort of keeps you in touch with people you knew when you were growing up, and so that's why I get it. But every Christmas, they put in, they go to the public school, and they have the children write letters to Santa Claus and tell them what different things that they want or so on. I thought a few of these were a bit interesting, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but when I was thinking of gift getting, you know, that's a tradition that especially is important to children, in and especially of I guess in the children of society. You know, that tradition has gotten to the point where it's really I don't know, it's pathetic, some of these. Here's one: "Dear Santa, I want to know how you deliver all the presents in one night. Do some of your elves help out, or do you just do it by yourself? Also, how come I can't hear you when you come down the chimney?" Some of that is pathetic, and yet it's a bit humorous, some of these. "And when you land on the roof, but I hope that you have a good trip and have a safe and happy holiday." "My aunt is having a baby in February, and I want to give her baby a new coat, some pink and brown on it, and for her two twins." And then she goes, this little girl goes down telling different things she wants to give to different people. Here's one I thought was interesting: "Dear Santa, I hope that you can get to all those people in need, and you can skip me if you have to, because I want to get to all the ones in need. And if they need something, to give it to them. I want to give those in need what they need, like children want to be smart like us." And I won't read the whole thing. But another one: "Dear Santa, I want a 3DS for Christmas." Some of these things, I don't even know what they are. Different video games, I suppose, and whatever. And so there are these traditions. They also, in this same newspaper, they had the children write down some of the traditions that their families do on Christmas, or for the Christmas season. Where was this one? "Some families have Christmas traditions. My family goes to church every Christmas Eve. It's very boring. We eat turkey every Christmas Eve. My brother helps put the train up. I get up at 6 or 7 and I have to wait to open up presents. Some families have Christmas traditions. My family opens presents in the morning. We eat pumpkin pie and turkey and mashed potatoes. We play with our presents and get together with family." These are just a smattering of what people, or what children, think about this in this time of year. This one was a bit puzzling to me. "Some families have winter traditions. My family has fun at wintertime, because we do presents and gifts after Christmas time. My family does not celebrate Christmas. We do not have a Christmas tree up yet, because we do not celebrate in December. Sometime, I think it is on the 29th, but we do anything at all. And we have fun all winter. One time I was awake at 1 o'clock and my family was still sleeping, and I was walking to my grandpa and grandma's and opened a gift or a present. Just so you know, I'm 8 years old. And I wake up and eat breakfast in the morning before I go, and open up presents at my grandpa and grandma. And I listen to a song called Frosty the Snowman. He was a great player and was a great snowman. Frosty the Snowman was a great person, okay? Frosty the Snowman, and he was a great player, and that is the end. And I got to sing the whole song, and everybody started to laugh, okay? When my mom was crying when I was singing, and my dad got there late, and he was very late and sad, I do not know why, okay? And they all started to say, I love you, and very much okay, daughter, I really love you very much." The spelling is atrocious in these letters, but they print them just exactly like the children write them. "These are part of my family, okay? Mom, Dad, my sister, brother, baby sister, and that is my family. Happy winter." I didn't read them all, so traditions, Christmas extremes. There's the idea of gift getting also has this idea of good behavior. You know, you have to be good before Christmas. You have to put on your best behavior, so because Santa Claus won't come to bad children. And then there's the tradition of the Christmas tree, which has become $1 million business. And decorations. You see, you drive through the countryside, you see it all over. Think of all of the millions of dollars spent in light bulbs and string light strings and all the electricity it takes to run this stuff. There's legends that abound about wise men and about the shepherds, things about people, just imagination of how things might have been, just legends, not fact. And then, of course, there's Santa Claus with the elves and the reindeer and the sleigh and the toy shop in the North Pole and delivering toys on Christmas and coming down the chimney. All these things are Christmas traditions that are around us. During this time of the year, there's partying, accompanied probably with drunkenness. There's big meals, there's family get-togethers, there's Christmas caroling. This is a traditional day that Jesus was born. It's his birthday, they say. One of the little girls wrote in the paper, said, "I went to church and said happy birthday to Jesus." So these are just a few of the some of the traditions. And there's only a few of these traditions that are really of value to us. There's some of them that we can do and we can think about. But even some of the legitimate ones can be so badly abused. You know, even like gift giving and big meals and things like that. No, we can abuse some of these traditions, even the ones that are legitimate for us. And so these are extremes on the one side. Some people go all out for Christmas. They do all of these. They go to church. They talk about Jesus being born, and they talk about Santa Claus, and they teach their children about Santa. And when children who hear about both Santa Claus and Jesus at Christmas time find out that Santa Claus is just a myth, what will they think about the story of Jesus? And that's the danger of this going all out for Christmas and this extreme of doing every kind of tradition there is at Christmas time. Then there's the opposite extreme. There are those that would teach that we should not have anything at all, any special recognition or time at all to mark this event. And there would be probably people of our own persuasion, conservative Mennonite people who would hold this, some ultra-conservative people, that would have this view that we should not have any special time of recognition at all for the idea of Christmas. And their argument or reasoning goes something like this. We don't know the exact day or time of year that this occurred. No, this is December 25th. Was Jesus born on December 25th? Nobody knows. So they say, why should we set aside this day when we don't know? We don't know when this occurred. They say their reasoning also is that this started as a as a Catholic tradition, or the very word Christ Mass. You know, it was a tradition that was started not with New Testament Christianity, but later on. And so we shouldn't have anything to do with it. December 25th, they say, was a pagan holiday. It was a Roman pagan holiday. And they just used this same date to celebrate the birth of Christ. And so it's something we shouldn't have anything to do with. Also, they would say the event has become so commercialized. Why should we get into this as Christians when all there is commercialization of this season? There's too many worldly traditions, so it should be avoided altogether. No mention of it is in the New Testament scripture. Like if there's no mention of in the early church where they celebrated Jesus' birth, and so we shouldn't either. The birth of Christ should be more than once a year recognition, and that's probably a valid point. It's you know, it isn't just once a year that we should remember this. And I've heard this one: whose birthday is it? So if it's Jesus' birthday, why do we give presents to each other? And so we have, and some of these points are, there is some validity to it. You know, we can get carried away, like I said, with some of the legitimate traditions even. And so, should we go completely in the other extreme, the other ditch, not have anything to do at all with it? And I'm not here to belittle anyone who believes like this. That's fine if they want to do that. However, I'm not sure it's exactly necessary. I guess I'm assuming now that all of us who are here this morning are somewhere between these two extremes. And we do recognize the time of year. We do recognize that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We are somewhere between these two extremes where we embrace every tradition of Christmas or else none. And so the question then comes again: how then should we celebrate the birth of Jesus? I have 11 points, do's and don'ts, and about celebrating Jesus' birth. Number one, and you could add to this list as well, and maybe you could change some of these points and maybe word it better. Number one, allow only traditions that relate directly to Jesus' birth. And don't make absurd excuses for some. I've heard this one: it's fine to have a Christmas tree. A Christmas tree is pointed, you know, and it points toward God. So that's what that tradition is all about. Well, some of the excuses used for Christmas traditions are probably absurd, and we don't, we better not use that. On the side, if you want to think about a tree that's related to the life of Jesus, there's one right on the front of the pulpit there. 1 Peter 2:24, I think it says, "He himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree." Allowing traditions, allowing only traditions that relate directly to Jesus' birth, we need to use self-control and temperance in even the ones that are legitimate. Like I mentioned before, they can be abused. And we can become so obsessed with the business of the season that we lose sight of what it's really all about. And we dare not do that. Number two, always remember to thank God for His unspeakable gift to us. In 1 Corinthians 9:15, that verse is, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And this is in a setting where Paul was admonishing the Corinthian Christians about giving. And he was actually commending them because they were those who were free to give when there was need. And right at the end of that, very end of that chapter, this is what he said: thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And so that's one thing we need to remember in Christmas, in celebrating the birth of Jesus, is to remember to thank God for that gift to us. It's one that is priceless. We can't put a value on it. It's way above any value we can think of. And so we need to remember to thank God for His unspeakable gift. Number three, if gifts are given, give something of value and usefulness. Not junk that only lasts until New Year's Day, or even less. You know, there's many times where children receive gifts of toys that are cheap, and it ends up by the end of the day they're bored with them, and either they're broken or they're laid aside and probably never used again. And so if we're going to give gifts, and I'm not so much of a Scrooge that we don't think it's right to give gifts. At least I hope there's no one like that here, but I'm assuming there isn't. But if we do give gifts, it's good to be selective and to give gifts that are useful, something that can be used, something that that won't wear out the first few hours of use. There are exceptions. One exception to that, and that's if you give gifts of good food. You know, you don't want that to last too long. You use that right away, and that's the exception. But in giving gifts of other kinds, it's good to give gifts that are useful. Number four, remember that there are many people in the world that are a lot less fortunate than we are. And there are avenues that we can use to help supply their needs. Christian Aid Ministries is a good place to contribute. They have so many needs in so many places that people are destitute and actually starving and hunger and without clothes and without food. And so let's remember that this time of the year, a time of giving, is one time, and not only now, but throughout the year, to be able to help supply needs to those who really need it. Number five, I was not sure, I was a little hesitant about this one, but I'm going to give it anyway. Remember that gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins. You know, we get together on Christmas Day and or around this Christmas season, and we have lots of good food. And one of the gifts of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit, is temperance, self-control. You know, we don't have to stuff ourselves when we get together for special things, special times. I think it's good that we use self-control, and I guess probably the reason that I was a little hesitant to use this is because it's tempting, so tempting to me. You know, we sometimes excuse ourselves. We say, well, you know, it's just once a year. It's it's not that we do this every day. It's, you know, it's just one time a year. Certainly we can overindulge, but it's still, I guess it's still gluttony. I remember one time just before Thanksgiving, I was in Hayfield and talking to a man that I know fairly well, one of the businessmen in town there. And when we parted, he said, well, have a happy Thanksgiving. And he said, and eat till you hurt. That's probably not good advice. And once again, the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is temperance or self-control. Number 6. Always keep in mind the reason that Jesus or that Christ came to this earth. He came, like John the Baptist said, after Jesus was already an adult, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And we need to keep that in mind, even that when we think of Jesus, a baby in a manger, we think of his incarnation, we think of his coming into the world, we need to realize that he came to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And it's because God loved us when we were yet in our sins. He came to be our Savior. God needed someone to come to this earth. He needed someone to take the this place to shed his blood so that we could have eternal life. You know, he said, without the shedding of blood, there are no remission of sins. And God had all power to redeem us, but yet he had no blood. He didn't have the position, in other words. And man can redeem himself. He has blood in his veins, he has a position, but he doesn't have the power. And you probably heard this before, but here was Jesus Christ, came into this world. He had both power and position to redeem us from sin. He was the creator, the all-powerful one, and he had blood in his veins to shed for the redemption of our sinful souls. So let's keep in mind why Jesus came. What was the reason for his coming to earth? Number 7, don't get caught up in the be kind once a year mentality. You know, this is a season when we send gifts, you know, we send cards, send letters, we get together with family, we try to encourage each other in get-togethers and so on. I think these are things that could be pursued more throughout the whole year, not just at Christmas time. It's not like the idea of just being good just before Christmas. There was a poet named Eugene Field, and he died in 1895, but he wrote this little poem. I'm not going to read the whole poem, but just refer to it a little bit. It tells about some of the ordinary things he did, and then all of a sudden, just before Christmas, he got real good. Maybe some of you have read this. But in fact, it got so good that his mother wondered why he was so improved. And this last stanza, he says like this: "For Christmas, with its lots and lots of candies, cakes, and toys, we made was made, they say, for proper children and not for naughty boys. So wash your face and brush your hair and mind your P's and Q's and don't bust out your pantaloons and don't wear out your shoes. Say yes them to the ladies and yes or to the men. And when there's company, don't pass your plate for pie again. But thinking of the things you're like to see upon the tree just before Christmas, be as good as you can be. And the rest of the year didn't seem to matter. Well, let's not get caught up in that kind of a mentality where we're, you know, we do the right things and do the right traditions and send cards and be the right kind of a person and the right kind of encouragement this time of the year, but the rest of the year we maybe forget that there are people that could use a visit or a card or a phone call or some help. Gifts, cards, letters, visits, encouragement could all be given the year round. Number 8, don't keep Jesus in the manger. No, this is a nice story, baby in a manger. But Jesus didn't stay in the manger. He grew to be a man who died on the cross to save us from sins. And there's only a few chapters in the Bible, I don't know if you think about this, there's only a few chapters in the Bible that talk about Jesus' birth. But the rest of the New Testament tells about his life and how it affects ours. And so let's remember that Jesus didn't remain a baby. And this cute little story is not just for one time of the year or just for children, but it's Jesus grew to be a man for the purpose of redeeming us from sin. Number 9, don't be swayed by extra-biblical legends about the events that surround the birth of Christ. These make maybe cute stories, but we need to realize that they are legends, and they may lack a lot of truth. So let's not be caught up in the kind of thing that where we have to use our imagination for extra wise men and different ideas about the star and shepherds and whatever traditions and whatever legends there might be. And I'm not saying that these don't make good, interesting stories. But let's not, let's remember that the simple Bible account should be central to our message. Like what we read this morning. It just simply gives the facts. And it's a simple story. And that's what we need to remember when we think of the message of Christmas. Number 10, remember to join with the angels in giving glory to God in the highest for this important event in history. You know, we need to give God the glory, give him the praise. And, that was quite an event there. How would it have been if you'd have been on the hillside there or within the field, it says, with the shepherds, and all of a sudden, a heavenly host saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know, we can join in giving glory to God, giving praise to him for all that he has done. And I'm going to close by rereading some of the Sunday school lesson, a couple verses. And that's, how shall we celebrate Christmas? This is my final point, number 11. Remember to take example from the shepherds. Luke 2:17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then in verse 20, is and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told them. We can give thanks to God, and we can pass on the message of what Jesus did for us by coming to this earth.